Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Oh God, it doesn't feel natural.
It is unnatural.
It wasn't bad or nothing. You did fine.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was not the norm.
No. Yeah, I didn't get to push the button.
You did not. You were not the button pusher this time.
I'm far from the button.
You are well outside of arm's reach from the button.
Oh, God. I miss you.
It's right there. Mm. It's red glowing glowness.
Anyways, let's talk about movies.
Oh, movies.
Yeah, you like those things, don't you?
I do.
You like those things, don't you?
I do.
You like those things, don't you?
I do.
Hey, is this a Rewind episode?
Yeah, you did the shtick.
I did do it, didn't I?
Yeah, you make the noise.
You do it better than I do. There it is.
Yeah.
I love it. It's mostly for the face. You look so happy when you do it.
Yay.
It's kind of like that one Looney Tune where the cat drinks the Epsom salt through a straw or whatever, and doesn't his face all shrink in?
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe that's not what he was drinking, but you remember that bit.
I know that. I know the bit.
That bit.
That's a bit.
That was an unloved cat. He was not named, I don't think.
I don't believe so.
No, they're like, let's do this to Sylvester. They're like, oh, no, don't do it to Sylvester.
Nah, that's too important a cat.
Yeah, we'll just make up a cat.
Yeah.
Unloved cats.
Unloved cats.
Unloved cats.
The name of our new podcast.
Where we don't talk about cats.
That's right.
Talk about dogs.
Anything else.
That's so good. Well, it is a Rewind episode, which if you're unfamiliar, if you're unclean, unworthy, uneducated, if you don't know.
Unloved.
If you're an unloved cat, this is where we swap movies and I talk about a thing that Max has already reviewed and vice versa. And we just kind of reaffirm feelings about these movies.
We just yell at each other and tell each other how wrong we actually were.
You were so correct. Oh my God.
Well said.
It's very Monty Python.
It is.
Oh, you did well. You did.
That's right.
It was good.
Yep.
Just like to think my wife's upstairs just like, holy fuck. I dodged a bullet coming to bed.
You hear like something scraping across the floor because she's blocking the door.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He's doing the British lady again.
Oh, no. I bet he's drinking.
Anyways, do you want to kick us off or would you like for me to do so?
I'll start us off.
All right, what you got?
I have 2021's Dune Part 1.
Dune Part 1?
Dune Part 1.
This was good, yeah.
Yeah, I watched this on March 9th of 2024. It is 2 hours and 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I'd say 2 hours and 35 minutes short. It is a science fiction film directed by Denis Villeneuve, starring Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, and Stellan Skarsgård.
Mm-hmm.
Your summary for this one, a noble family becomes embroiled in a war for... Oh boy, I wrote this one.
I can't blame the secretary.
For control over the galaxy's most valuable asset, while its heir becomes troubled by visions of a dark future.
That's just how spice work.
That must flow.
That's right.
This movie is pretty interesting. Coming, like, I grew up on the original David Lynchian Dune. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the books when I was in late middle school.
Okay.
Which is probably not the right age, maybe a little too young for that, some of the stuff that Herbert was dropping in that book.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And this, I think what Villeneuve does here is, does a really good job of focusing on the pieces that he knows you can't get it all in there. Like, we've seen the Lynch movie, I will talk about that perhaps another time.
Yeah.
You've already talked about it.
I have.
And I think he realized that it's like, you can't just condense that book into even two parts. It's much. It's like, it's, you got to pick your storylines and kind of shave things off. And I think that this particular film does a really good job of being easy to follow despite how heavy the premise really is.
Right.
It strips things down to where it's understandable. I had Sam watch this just because I was like, hey, this is a long movie. And if there's any chance of you wanting to understand part two at some point, you're going to have to watch part one and start to digest this a bit.
Sure. Yeah.
I wasn't sure what she was going to make of it. Having not seen it, I know the story of Dune. I didn't know how much was being covered in this particular installment. And I think that he did a really good job of being like, you know what? I'm going to slim it down, but you're still going to get a lot within, you know, while I'm telling maybe I don't know, 60-70%
yeah,
of the beginning of Dune, you're getting all lot more of each of those pieces. So it feels more like a story that you can actually, like, it's a palatable story. It's not just the awe and crazy that is Dune.
Right. I'll agree with that. I definitely, when I watched this, felt I had done the old one just prior to doing the part one, and there were things left out that maybe weren't as important, but I felt like it helped me understand a lot better. And I'd read a little of the books, but not in years, so that wasn't really helpful to me.
Right.
But I felt like it was a good, I think watching all of them, even though that's so many hours of content,
yeah,
is super helpful to if you like the universe.
Definitely. I think the performances are all good. Villeneuve visually is... he's one of the greats working today. The movie is gorgeous. It's epic. Like, it's one of the most epic movies I've seen in a long time.
For sure.
The scale's redonkulous. The scope's redonkulous. All the performances are really strong. The visuals are gorgeous. The way that he handles the Harkonnens, which I will say Harkonnen, I'm not going to say Harkonnen, because I just... that's not how I grew up saying it.
Sure.
But loved that. The Baron, especially, there's a scene where he is like rising up and he has like this cloak that flows all the way down to the ground and he's like 15 feet in the air. It's just like this visual and it's like the camera comes back. It's just this like gorgeous shot. And the movie is just completely full of that.
Which the Baron himself is not gorgeous. So it's like kind of cool that they got this pretty shot of him.
Amazing color balance and the contrast. It's just like, I mean, this is a masterclass in visual storytelling for sure. I think there are some things, if you're a Dune purist, I think you're going to find some things missing, but I think you're going to be hard pressed to find a much better way to commit this to film, in my opinion.
Sure.
So I was super duper impressed. I'd say my biggest complaint was, besides the things being left to the wayside, was just this very much feels like a part one.
Sure.
Like, it's very intentional with how it's taking its time to set things up, and it doesn't care that it's like, listen, you're going to watch this together as like 1 6-hour epic. You're not going to watch it. It's not really fully intended to be one chunk.
Right.
And it feels like it's very setup-y. So I can see some people saying it's a little slow and a little like exposition heavy, but that doesn't bother me because everything's so interesting to look at and the actors are chewing the scenery so much.
And knowing the story, it ends at a logical point.
Totally.
It's a perfect ending point to stop there.
Yes. It totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So IMDb gives this an 8.0 out of 10.
Okay.
Critics, 514 of them, 83%.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience, 5,000
plus,
give it a 90%.
Wow.
Yeah. Across the board, pretty good. And I agree. I give it an 8 out of 10. Movie sweet.
It is pretty sweet, isn't it?
It really is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's always good on these rewinds where we agree and the movie good.
A movie good.
Movie good.
Movie good.
Well, I got a movie.
Ooh.
I like it because I haven't told you what my movies are.
I love this.
Yeah, that's your favorite part.
It is.
Well, I did a movie that you did, and it came out in the year 2015.
Okay.
I did The Vivitch.
Ooh, The Vivitch.
The Vivitch.
Yeah.
Or The Witch.
The Witch.
The A24 movie with a younger Anna Taylor-Joy in it.
This was her breakout movie?
I believe it. She's pretty young in this. And she's very good.
Yeah, she is.
She steals this movie. So I watched it on the 18th of March, 2024. It's an hour 32 drama, fantasy, horror, directed by Robert Eggers, starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Ralph Ineson, and Kate Dickel, I think is what I wrote. IMDb, movie summary. A family in 1630s New England is torn apart by forces of witchcraft, black magic, and possession. My bullet points, I've got one. Eggers is also known for The Northman and The Lighthouse. You know, some of the better A24s.
Yep, and he's going to do the remake of Nosferatu coming out shortly.
So exciting.
Yeah.
That should be good.
Oh, please let it be good. It's his dream project.
I can appreciate it.
Yeah.
I hope he nails it.
Yeah, me too.
You love a good witch movie.
I do.
I also love a good witch movie.
You do.
So this is really, it's a pretty spooky movie. Everything's dirty and gross, and this family get excommunicated for reasons that are not completely clear. There's a disagreement with their town, probably over religious feelings.
It seems like it.
It seems like things, like, it's not that we disagree, because they're still very religious. They still pray to the Lord. They're still, you know, fearful of the devil and stuff, but they're just arguing at the beginning, and they're like, screw it, we're going to leave. And they leave and set up, you know, several miles away, a day away, whatever it is.
Yes.
And it's just a very close-knit family. They just have the clothes on their backs for the most part. Like, there are scenes where, like, the dad's just, like, waiting for his clothes to get clean so he can put them back on.
The shot of them leaving town on that bone rattler. And you just watch their ass smack into the back of that carriage.
Yes.
Is like, it's just one of those things that doesn't really get looked at in film. And like watching how awful that trek is for them.
Right.
It's kind of that movie. If I could summarize the movie in a sentence, is watching how awful things are for these people. The movie.
Right. And this is the high point for them because things get worse.
They do.
They chose the wrong spot to settle. There is indeed a witch. This is a very spooky movie because you know there's something there.
Uh-huh.
They show you it pretty early, but not in great detail.
Right.
It's like confirmed something bad.
Right.
Because there is a young infant baby and it is snatched very clearly in broad daylight in a very quick amount of time.
Yes.
To where it has to be supernatural.
It right.
couldn't probably be an animal. Literally snatched out from right underneath Anya Taylor-Joy, who was playing peekaboo with the baby. So
yes.
Very close quarters.
Good scene.
It is a great scene because she's doing it and the baby's laughing and I'm like, this is gonna be awful.
Yes.
This baby, something bad is gonna happen. And thankfully the baby was just gone.
Right.
But I mean, it also gets worse.
Yes.
But then it is just this family trying to survive. And oh man, those little fucking kids, the bratty little young kids that just talk shit the whole movie.
Yes.
And then you kind of figure it out a little later on that like, oh man, there's a lot more to those little kids than you think.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to everything that's going on in this movie. And it's like, man, there are little things that are planted in the beginning that by the end you're like, holy shit, I didn't see that. That's so brilliant.
Yeah.
They call back a lot of stuff.
They do.
I think this movie is fantastic. I love the ending of this movie. I did not predict it, but I was kind of hoping for something in that realm.
Right.
Just a really solid movie. I don't even really want to spoil it too much more than that, even though we've talked about this prior.
We have.
I just think this is a very good movie.
What did you think about the use of like the old English?
I thought it was fine. Yeah, I didn't think it took away too much. I didn't think it was distracting.
No, didn't bother me at all.
Not distracting like my cats right now. What are you assholes doing?
They're very excited.
Talking about witches. They're like, ooh, witches.
Witches, goats, let me in.
That's right. But yeah, the old English didn't bother me. I thought it actually helped. The dad is very like, I liked him a lot.
I agree.
And the mother is like, you want to like her, but she's such a bitch and she's just been through so much. Like
yes.
The baby got taken and like, she's trying not to blame the daughter, but like, fuck man, your baby just got taken.
Right.
Your baby is most likely dead.
Yep.
It's awful.
Yes.
So just if you want a sad, sad fucking movie, this is the one, man.
Yeah.
For sure. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Line this up with Hereditary for a night of nothing but tears and no sleep.
Oh my goodness. This would be an awful double feature.
Yeah, it would.
Holy hell.
Yep.
Unless you're into it, and then by all means. So IMDb gave this a 7.0. Rotten Tomato critics, 336 of them, gave it 90%. The audience, 25,000 plus, give it 60%. We are all over the damn place.
Mm-hmm.
My wife did watch this with me.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And we are very far apart as well.
Oh, cool.
Do you want to guess who had the higher score and who had the lower score?
I think you have to have the higher score.
You're right. Do you want to guess them or no?
I would say you came in, you're a generous guy who likes witches. I'm going to go with you giving it an 8. I'm going to say she gave it a 3.5.
You're not super far off. I gave it a 7.5. The wife gave it a 4.5.
Okay.
I think she liked it. I think it just dragged her through the mud, much like Hereditary, which she didn't care for either.
Right.
It's just like, oh, so much.
It's so depressing.
It's very depressing.
Yeah.
And you feel for Anya Taylor-Joy. And like, also like, she's like young, but like almost of age to be a woman. So it's like, she's in an awkward phase of her life.
Absolutely.
And she's going through like all these awkward, like natural things. And it's like, oh my God. And then like, just everything is awful. It's like, she can't be treated like a kid, but it's a lot for her to be treated like an adult.
Yep. I love how hard everything is.
Everything's awful for her.
Yeah.
Legit.
Everybody. Just like walking, doing something, having to eat dinner, like you said, washing clothes.
Washing the clothes so you can put them back on.
Eggers lingers on everything so much to show you that it's like, yeah, you think it's tough now. Like we're upset because we can't just do something sitting on our ass from our phone. And it's like, yeah, for these people, if they wanted water, they had to walk like a quarter mile to the creek and hope there was water in the spot they walked to.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yep.
Awesome movie of terrible suffering.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
What else else you got?
I have 1984.
Oh, wait a minute.
It is Dune.
The original.
Yeah, the David Lynch Dune. Watch nice. This on March 31st, 2024. It is 2 hours and 17 minutes long. It's a sci-fi film directed by the mighty David Lynch.
Yep.
Starring Kyle MacLachlan, one of my favorites, Francesca Annis, it's Lady Jessica, and yep. Sean Young as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
This one's a little more ambitious. This does the whole book.
So, yeah. So Lynch wrote this, and he adapted this. Frank Herbert wrote the book.
Right.
And he also shot this.
Mm-hmm.
So for this movie, I'll read you the summary real quick, and I'll get into my spiel.
Spiels.
A duke's son leads desert warriors against a galactic emperor and his father's evil nemesis to free their desert world from the emperor's rule.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see just in how disparate those two descriptions are between those two Dune movies. This is a whole different beast. This does tell the entirety, or this is an extraordinarily condensed version of the entire novel of Dune.
Yep.
And this was adapted by Lynch. And I think that Lynch kind of feels like he went through and just was like, I want to go through and highlight all the cool shit that I want to shoot. And I'm going to try to write the world's most soap opera-y dialogue to fill in the places that will let me go from one cool scene to another.
Fair.
I think that the writing part of this is extremely lacking, but I think that the movie has a really like memorable and haunting kind of quality to it, as only David Lynch tends to bring to the screen for me. Like, he has just a style unto his own. Even two David Lynch movies next to each other don't quite line up as closely as another filmmaker. Like, some filmmakers put their signature or their stamp on things.
I think
Lynch does that maybe a little bit in different eras of Lynch. But I think if you look at something like a Lost Highway or a Mulholland Drive,
sure,
and you go back and you look at that compared to like The Elephant Man, I don't think you would suspect that the same filmmaker made both of those films.
Definitely.
So I like seeing that he really, and like the scenes in this movie that you remember, there's a reason you remember them, like the Gilt Navigator and just some of the crazy visuals, the shields, because they had no better way to do it other than these kind of like really sketchy, boxy opticals that they used in the 80s. But like Patrick Stewart's great in this movie.
Patrick Stewart's awesome.
Like Kyle MacLachlan, I like a lot. I think he's very reserved, and we don't see his character develop as much as you get to see Timothy Chalamet's character evolve in the newer Dune over the course of the movie. And like, definitely you leave him at this moment of transition in Dune Part 1.
Right.
Where you have to watch MacLachlan kind of just be like nice and friendly and then be more reserved and stoic. He doesn't have like the most wiggle room to work with because the movie just moves so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really enjoy it. It kind of is one of those, like, I give it a pass. I know it's not as good as especially some of his other work. It's definitely probably amongst his weakest works.
Right.
But I still really enjoy it. And it's just like, it's a cool watch. And for the time, it was ridiculously ambitious.
Right.
So I definitely give it a thumbs up. IMDb gives it a 6.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomato critics, 117 of them, 37%.
Oof.
And the audience of 50,000 plus give it 65%. And I'm just a touch under them in IMDb with a 6 out of 10 on this one.
I think that's fair.
It's absolutely hard. If I go, so I was originally going to score this a touch higher, but then I went and I was like, let me just look at David Lynch's body of work. Let me just look at it.
Right.
And I think in order to fairly, if I were to, or if I have already reviewed some of his works, I want to make sure this lines up with where I think it falls in his body of work. And I think the 6 makes that the appropriate scoring here.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I got one more.
Oh, I'm excited.
And to make it even more exciting, I took out my phone with the list of all the movies you've done. I said, wife, you can pick any one you want.
Wow.
Gave her all the power.
That's crazy.
You want to know which piece of crap she settled on?
This was based purely on the titles?
Yes.
Oh, God damn.
But to be fair, she did, the handful she boiled it down to, she watched the trailer and picked.
How many did she boil it down to? Do you remember?
Probably three or four.
Three? Wow. Okay.
Listen, we didn't get far in the alphabet before she was like, that sounds good.
Okay. So probably something with the letter D?
Correct.
I don't have a good guess outside of that.
It's from 2013.
Okay.
It's Devil May Call.
Oh my goodness. Devil May Call.
Didn't think we'd ever talk about Devil May Call again, huh?
Wow, Corey English.
Yep.
There's the Suicide Hotline.
Yes.
Okay.
The blind suicide.
She's blind, yeah. Yep. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
All right.
Yep.
So.
Wow.
Watch this on 420. We were absolutely sober. Don't worry. I know it doesn't sound like it, but we were.
I bet you wish you weren't when you're done this one.
Hi-oh. The IMDb movie minutes is 1:24. Genre horror thriller. Directed by Jason Quadrado. Starring Corey English, Tyler Mane, and Tracy Lords. Your IMDb movie summary. A blind young suicide hotline operator descends into a night of unrelenting terror when an obsessive caller turns out to be a serial killer. Yeah, that's basically it. I really like Tyler Mane in this movie.
Yes.
He is terrifying.
Yes.
And I remember when you did this movie, I remember all I could think is, man, I want good shit for Tyler Mane. He's so good.
Yes.
And after watching this movie, I'm like, man, he is so good. This movie is not, though.
It is not.
I think Corey English plays a blind character pretty good.
I agree.
Like, she intentionally isn't making eye contact with people. She's kind of just, like, kind of looking into them or yes. past them almost.
You can tell she did her homework to make sure she got a lot of the mannerisms correct. And
right, even when she's walking, and then later when, like, he's actually after her in the building, her running and stuff, it felt pretty good. It felt natural.
It felt like she was pushing herself to make sure, too, like, she didn't overutilize her eyes in yes. a lot of ways. Like, she tried to keep the emotion south of her eyes really hard.
Right.
Which I think it's good. You know what I mean? I don't know if it pushed her, you know what I mean, to it, but it was like, it was ambitious.
Also, when she wakes up in a place that she's not as familiar with and she doesn't know where she is, and when she has to navigate an unknown room, it's
right.
also very well done.
Agreed.
Tracy Lords is funny in this. She's like the silly character. I feel yeah. like somebody was just like, let's get Tracy Lords to say some silly shit.
Absolutely.
Is why she's in this movie, but she was fine for all
I agree.
Intents and purposes. The movie really fails, though, in its plot, where it's just like, we're in this building. This building's going to close. This is the last night. The beans get spilled to this guy. That she's going to stop working at
right.
the hotline, so he it's like she's his pacifier almost. Like if he can't call her, he's having a bad time,
right?
And just like, oh, we're moving, so there's boxes everywhere, so she's having a hard time navigating. Like, of course, that's when this guy's going to come in and she's going to fall over boxes that, by the way, didn't have anything in them.
Yeah,
and like there was some really crummy decisions.
Yes.
So from a writing perspective, I think is where this fails. Not so much performances or any fault of an actor per se.
No.
I just think this could have been cleaned up, made a little better. Tyler Mane is terrifying, though, and I still wish the world for him. I want him to get that next big role. I don't know what it is. He's
Do you
so
know
good.
That this movie holds a very special place in Jared's heart, not
Ooh.
Because of the movie, but because of a little shtick that you had when I was reviewing the movie. Do you remember this?
The devil.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hello? Who is this?
The devil. I'm the devil.
That was
oh, all right.
So I had to call that out. So.
Oh, man. Yes, I did think of that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what episode is that? I need to listen to that again.
Oh, I'm just a weird woman.
I'm just a weird woman. Yep. That was all
Jared's
from this.
Favorite.
Yeah.
Well, Jared, maybe in the thumbnail, you'll be a weird woman in this one.
Just a weird woman.
I'm just a weird woman.
That's right.
Why? Why of all the things to improv?
Yeah.
Just building off of my British woman accent, really.
I don't think that is, but I appreciate that that's where you're going with it.
This is an earlier movie, too. This is fun that we, this is how I should be using these rewinds.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But that's about it. We don't have to spend doubly this amount of time on this movie. So IMDb gave it a 4.3. The critics did not give it a rating yet, still. The audience, 21%, less than 50. The wife and I are pretty close. Who do you think liked it better?
Gonna go with the wife on this one.
Wrong. I liked it better.
Wow.
I gave it a 5 out of 10. She gave it a 4 out of 10. Yeah, she was basically, by the end of the movie, when things are really boiling down, she's like, oh, what, is she gonna fall down and do this now? Is this gonna happen? And like, it would happen. She's
yeah.
She's
makes
like,
sense.
It gets very predictable in the last, like, 30 minutes. I'm just like, all right, calm down, people. We're just dialing in tropes now.
Yes, yes, they are.
So that's it. Thank you, everybody, for rewinding.
Would you like to rewind deliciously?